The Schiavo case is one of several in recent months where religious conservatives have seen state and federal judges rule against them. There are other examples, rulings on gay marriage and displaying the Ten Commandments in public places. As NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports, conservatives are trying new strategies, and in the process, they're pitting one branch of government against another.
Ronald Cruz spends sun up to sundown talking about marriage, and in particular, how to undo a recent Supreme Court decision in Massachusetts, which ruled that gay marriage is a constitutional right. And so it wasn't unusual for Cruz to find himself at a prayer breakfast north of Boston, urging some 24 businessmen to press their legislators to pass an amendment to the state constitution, defining marriage as between a man and a woman.
The eyes of the nation are on us right now because if this ruling stands, it has the potential of not only destroying the institution of marriage here in Massachusetts, but impacting the definition of marriage all across the country.
Cruz, who heads the Massachusetts Family Institute, is in full sprint between now and February 11th, when the legislature takes up the amendment. Cruz is getting significant help in his campaign from some of the heavyweights in the Christian community.
Welcome to Focus on the Family. We're discussing marriage, what it is, why it's important.
Focus on the Family, which reaches 22 million people via 3,000 radio stations, has made the defense of traditional marriage a top priority, as have the Christian Coalition and the Family Research Council. These and other groups are also funding massive lobbying campaigns to pass a federal marriage amendment. Genevieve Wood, spokesman for the FRC, says their constituents are furious not only about specific rulings on social issues, but also about the system itself.
When you ask them, what are the things you're most concerned about? Sure, abortion's at the top of the list, but increasingly what's at the top of the list in the top three is this issue of judicial tyranny. And I think it's because people are beginning to realize that when it comes to things like abortion, when it comes to things like the definition of marriage, the problem isn't often the president or the Congress, it's the courts.
The problem in Florida arose in the Schiavo case when a state judge ordered a hospital to remove the feeding tube from Terry Schiavo, the woman who has been in a persistent vegetative state. When Randall Terry, a Christian activist and founder of Operation Rescue, heard about it, he was only briefly surprised.
Part of me says, this can't be happening. And then when I look over the long history of judicial abuses, I say, here we go again.
Terry decided the only way to save Schiavo was to do an end run around the judiciary. So he organized 24-hour vigils outside the hospital. He put Schiavo's parents on television and radio. And he released the now famous video of Terry Schiavo and her mother.
Hi, baby. Are you better? Are you better?
I think at the end of the day, the video is what saved her life.
Randall Terry says the video of Schiavo seeming to respond to her mother gave the state legislature and the governor ammunition to defy the judiciary. In a few days, Terry's law was enacted and the feeding tube was reinserted. That's the law that was challenged in court today.
It really was historic. It shows what can happen when people unite together and urge a state legislature and an executive to withstand judicial tyranny. We want to take this lesson that we learned and use it again and again on the state level and on the federal level.
He says the fights over the Pledge of Allegiance and the Ten Commandments are ripe for this strategy. Here again, the courts have thwarted public opinion. Polls show that the vast majority of people want children to say, under God, and welcome the Ten Commandments in public places. Crowds gathered to protest after a federal judge ordered Alabama Justice Roy Moore to remove a granite display of the Ten Commandments from the courthouse. And some members of Congress, eager to reflect public opinion, responded. Five bills pending in the House and Senate would strip federal courts of the authority to make judgments regarding the Pledge of Allegiance or the display of the Ten Commandments. Another bill would bar federal judges from defining marriage. Genevieve Wood at the Family Research Council says these bills illustrate the anger at the judicial branch. But she says bills like this are a two-edged sword.
What happens if a state court decides to take God out of the pledge? Then there's no recourse. There's nowhere to appeal it at the federal level if that's been taken off the table. So some of these bills may have to be fine-tuned. But at least, again, doing things like this brings to the attention of the public the out-of-control judiciary.
No wonder, then, that judicial nominations have sparked fierce ideological fights, not just for control of the U.S. Supreme Court, but also the lower federal courts. Consider this exchange between Senators Richard Durbin and Orrin Hatch over the nomination of William Pryor to the U.S. Court of Appeals.
I didn't know this nominee's religion. I didn't ask it, nor did I plan to.
Nor is
you have made an issue of it.
Nor is
you have
kidding.
Made an issue of it. And if anyone
Randall Terry says the stakes could not be higher for either the right or the left, because the courts, or as he puts it, unelected judges trained at Berkeley, have the ability to reverse legislative victories by the majority.
There's no question that the radical left has a death grip on the judiciary, and they are frantic to keep that death grip because they know they could never achieve their bizarre agenda legislatively because they're selling and most of us ain't buying.
Constitutional scholar Jonathan Turley says it's true. Liberals have seen the courts as their ally when it comes to social issues because the Constitution and the courts tend to favor equality and individual rights over the majority will. And, he says, that's precisely how it should be. It's why federal judges are appointed, not elected, why they have lifetime tenure so that they can withstand the will of the majority and protect the rights of a sometimes unpopular minority.
The great irony is that the finest moments of the judiciary always come when they're most unpopular. We don't really need them during good times. We don't need them when they're agreeing with what we want. They earn their keep when they actually turn us down, when they stand in front of the majority and say, you just can't do that.
Moreover, he says, it's in everyone's interest to have an independent judiciary because you never know when you might be the unpopular minority who needs the protection of the courts. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News, Washington.